On New in the News, our first story is the Uber driver killer. A man in Kalamazoo, Michigan, was accused of murdering 6 people and injuring 2 others. The strangest part is that he was driving Uber in between the shootings. He was even looking for fares after the last shooting on his 7-hour killing spree. Uber confirmed that the suspect, Jason Brian Dalton, passed a background check and was in fact a registered Uber driver. Police seized a semi-automatic handgun from the suspect and said they could not figure out his motive considering that he didn't know any of his victims. Neighbors of Dalton said he always seemed quiet and nice, but they knew he liked guns. Let me begin by saying how sad this is. Killing in cold blood is one of the worst things that someone can do. I don't know how someone can go and kill someone and then live with themselves after hurting someone else and their families, not to mention their own families and themselves. Secondly, this shows how great Uber's background checks are. I refuse to use Uber, or even work for Uber, for that matter, for this very reason. You don't know who you're getting in the car with. For all you know, it could be a murderer. And in this case, it was a murderer. Now, granted, you could be getting into a car with a sketchy person in a taxi, but most of the time, taxi drivers don't own the car they're using, and they're employed by a person rather than a website. Thirdly, why do people even like guns? Now, I'm not for the argument that guns kill people, because that's a load of crap. People kill people. But guns are scary, and maybe they're fun to shoot on a range. For target practice, that is. But why on earth would you want to shoot a person? You really have to feel nothing to be able to shoot a person. So be careful who you're getting into a car with, and always be aware of your surroundings. Jason Dalton, he murdered several people. Like I said, 6 murdered, 2 injured, including families, elderly, teenagers, father and son. There was no mercy and no reason. It was just cold, hard killing. In another story, this story happened last week, but it was so crazy that I had to talk about it. Pope Francis said Donald Trump was not a Christian. Dun, dun, dun. Isn't that insane? I must say I love that guy. The Pope said, because he doesn't like Mr. Trump's stance on deportation and the infamous wall that he plans to build between the U.S. and Mexico, that was his reasoning for saying that Donald Trump was not a Christian. Of course, Donald Trump fired back, saying that a religious leader shouldn't question another man's faith, and that the Pope will wish he was president when ISIS attacks the Vatican. What? Can this get any better? This is so juicy. So here's a shocker. I'm on Donald Trump's side. I don't think the Pope should have said that he wasn't a Christian, because I don't think religious leaders get to decide who isn't or isn't anything. I think that's for a higher power to decide. And I think when Donald Trump passes, he'll be told everything that he did wrong, even if that's a very long list. And he'll have some sort of epiphany about all his wrongdoings. I think the Pope was out of line, but I get what he was trying to say and what he was trying to do. He was trying to get people's attention to see that there are issues that lie within Donald Trump's campaign. Donald Trump, on the other hand, shouldn't have said anything about ISIS attacking the Vatican. That was a little out of hand. You don't want to give anyone ideas, first of all, aka ISIS. You don't want to say, hey, attacking the Vatican's a good idea. Why don't you go do that? They're already attacking everything else. But you also don't want to wish that upon anyone. You can't exactly just say something like that. And considering all the devastation ISIS has already caused, it sounds very threatening. As if Donald Trump was trying to provoke something or say something. He may not have been, and I don't think he was, in my opinion, but it just sounds very odd. And I'm not sure that that was the right choice of words for him. But, you know, he says whatever he wants to, so I don't think that a lot of things that has come out of his mouth were the right choice in words. Overall, Donald Trump and the Pope have two huge personalities, or if you were Donald Trump, huge. And they both speak their mind, and that's kind of what created this controversy. But it was just so great that I think these two powerful men have got a lot to say to each other, and I would love to be in a room with the Pope and Donald Trump and see them duke it out. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on The Informative, News with a Voice. In other news, Apple has come out with a statement to why it has refused to help law enforcement unlock the phone of a shooter in the San Bernardino terror attack. And the suggested government, and they suggested the government form a commission to address the issues caused by encryption. The company is locked in this dispute between whether they should be forced to help investigators open the phone. And Cook even wrote an email, Tim Cook this is, CEO of Apple, saying it doesn't feel right to be on the opposite side of the government in a case centering on the freedoms and liberties that government is meant to protect. But he also points out that it's not about a single phone. It is about a dangerous precedent that may be set by helping the government, but also by allowing them to enter personal data. Now that makes sense, because it's important to protect people and their personal data. But on the other hand, the data on the phone is important because it may hold clues to finding other terrorists. This one is a little hard to grapple with. Apple is looking out for the best interest of its consumers, which I think is admirable. I do think they're doing the right thing. It does, however, surprise me that law enforcement needs Apple's help. That really, I don't understand that. I'm going to go ahead and side with Apple on this one. We have too many technological issues today to allow the government full access to our devices, terrorist or not. And, you know, they should have enough information with their own resources. I think it's too invasive to hand over such sensitive information. And I understand that the protection of our country and that ISIS is a credible threat, but we also need to keep the freedom in the U.S. known and alive. In another story, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who signed a bill to defund Planned Parenthood and other organizations that perform abortions. This bill is stopping more than $1 million from funding programs such as HIV testing, health screenings, and prevention of violence against women, on top of abortion. Planned Parenthood president said that this will have devastating consequences for women across Ohio. This argument has been talked to death. I honestly don't even enjoy arguing about it anymore because it is so stupid. John Kasich, you're an idiot. When are you going to learn that people do things because you take them away? And if you want people to not do something, you educate them. You don't just take it away from them. Also, Mr. Kasich, last I checked, you're not going to have an abortion anytime soon because you're a man. So why don't you just leave it alone? Having the resources to get an abortion doesn't mean that you have to have one. And a vagina does not make you a good mother. So why force someone to be one when they shouldn't? And don't use the adoption argument because the foster care system is awful, and if you don't get adopted as a baby, you could potentially have a horrible life. Not to mention, it's extremely difficult to adopt in the United States. Now, you could potentially have a horrible life because your mother was forced to keep you. That's the other end of the stick. I'm not saying every mother is bad, and I'm not saying every foster care home is bad, but there are a lot of homes and people that do not take care of their children, and they shouldn't be subject to that. And then there's population. We already have millions of people in need of help because their lives aren't great. What good is it doing by forcing women to have every child they begin to develop? You're not helping the population, and you're not helping the women who don't have a choice over their own body. Go help someone else instead of judging those who need help. Also, these nonprofits they're revoking funds from don't only offer abortions, but other services that help educate people about their bodies, which evidently reduces the amount of abortions. No one is saying that abortions are great. No one is on the street saying, come get your abortion. It's calorie free. Doesn't cost a dime. But people should have the choice to do whatever they feel is right for them. After all, being pro-choice isn't about wanting to get an abortion. It's about allowing people to have the choice. I think that is one of the key missing pieces to the pro-life argument, that it's not about all pro-choice people wanting to have abortions, just about having the choice. All right, enough of that. We'll be back in a minute with our next segment, Hilarious Happenings, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Can you feel the high?
Your hands, ladies in the house, just grab a man.
We gonna make y'all
feel it, make y'all internet expose. Ladies in the club looking ready to play, and I'm waiting for the right one to pass my way. And in the meantime, I'm about to roll up the hay. We got drinks on the table, time to parlay, and it's time to unwind if you had a low day. And ladies, I got something to say.
Can you feel it in your body, yo? Can you feel it in your body, yo? Cause I can feel it in my body, yo. It feels good to my body, yo. To my body, in my body, yo. Can you feel it in your body, yo? Cause I can feel it in my body, yo. It feels good to my body, yo.
We gon' make y'all feel it, make y'all feel it. Make y'all wanna jam. Fellas in the place, just clap your hands. Ladies in the house, just grab a man. We gon' make y'all feel it, make y'all feel it. Make y'all wanna move. Ladies in the place, just show and prove. Fellas in the house, you know what to do. Feel a vibration of the bass tone. Put your head on the speaker, get your face blown. Get up on the floor, get your dance on. Cause your backbone's connected to your ass bone. The ladies all dressed in high fashion. Dancing all sexy with passion. Honey, if you don't mind me asking, can you feel all that bass in that ass, huh?
Can you feel it in your body, yo? Can you feel it in your body, yo? Cause I can feel it in my body, yo. Feels good to my body, yo. To my body, in my body, yo. Can you feel it in your body, yo? Cause I can feel it in my body, yo. Feels good to my body, yo.
Gotta keep it moving, don't stop.
Don't stop.
Once you get moving, don't quit. Next thing you know, you on top. So hop to the rhythm that we get loose and express what you got.
What you got.
At least you gotta give yourself a shot.
A shot.
Hey, never give up and
give me what you got. Can you feel the high?
I can feel the high.
Can you feel it in your body, yo?
Cause I can feel it in my body, yo.
It feels
good to my body, yo. To my body, in my body, yo.
Can you feel it
in your body, yo? Cause I can feel it in my body, yo.
Informative news with a voice. This is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's go on to our next segment, Hilarious Happenings. A cute baby gets confused. So an adorable baby got confused meeting his dad's identical twin. Footage posted online shows him blankly staring at the pair and calling each of them Dada, as he repeatedly gets handed back and forth between them. Let me show you a clip.
Who's that?
Dada.
Yeah. What? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that?
Isn't that just adorable? The kid could not figure out who his father was because they kept passing him back and forth and switching off their glasses. The child wasn't able to figure out who his dad was because his dad doesn't wear glasses, so he was wearing his brother's glasses. And he was so confused, and so they kept passing him back and forth, and he kept pointing to the other dad, saying, "That's my dad, that's my dad." It was hilarious. In another story, a place in Canada called Cape Breton is welcoming American refugees to escape Trump. Their motto is, where women can get abortions, Muslim people can roam freely, and the only walls holding up the roof are holding up the roofs of our extremely affordable houses. Everyone has heard the threat somewhere, if Trump becomes president, I'm leaving. Well, Canada is taking it seriously and welcoming us. Rob Calabrese is a radio host in the area, and he even set up a website called Cape Breton if Donald Trump wins. The website pitches the island as a new home for anyone seeking refuge. Calabrese told the National Post that he's already received hundreds of emails from Americans interested in moving to the island. Calabrese was the point man to get the word out about this safe haven. This is probably one of the best marketing ploys I've ever heard. Good job, Calabrese, for putting this all together. I think it's hilarious, but sadly serious. And whoever thought about this, whether it was him or someone else, is an absolute genius. Not to mention that it gained a ton of publicity for the island. Way to go, Rob. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the Informative News with a Voice on Penguin Radio. Next up is a story about an obituary. An obituary for a Pittsburgh man who died this weekend requests that at his funeral, the flowers spell out, please do not vote for Donald Trump. Jeffrey Cohen, who died at the age of 70 on Sunday, led a colorful life. Apparently others have asked for people not to vote for Trump in their obituaries in this past month. It's really sad to think that a key part of what they want to leave behind is telling people not to vote for Trump. They shouldn't even be having to worry about that. They should be having to worry about their children or their grandchildren and how they're going to support themselves, not about who is going to become president. I think this form of telling people not to vote for Trump is really smart because it gets people to listen, because it's kind of a strange, humorous, dark area that no one wants to approach. And it also shows that these people really cared about what happens to the U.S. even after they're gone. And they know that Trump will only do damage to this country. On the other hand, this is pretty hilarious to think that these old people were sitting at their desks writing the things that they wanted to leave behind, and they were like, oh yeah, I forgot. Make sure no one votes for Trump. That was in their list of things to do before they died. That is pretty funny. And I mean, of course, I think Donald Trump would take that as a compliment. Obviously, it's not served as a compliment. It's the exact opposite of that. But I just thought it was hilarious, and I thought I'd share it with you guys. In another story, if you follow the Twitter account, you're a dog now, and tweet a photo of yourself to this account. The mastermind behind this project, who describes him or herself as a simple college dog, might dogify you. What does that mean? Well, this Twitter user finds your canine doppelganger and tweets you back with your picture beside a dog's picture who looks similar to you. Now this really shows how amused human beings are at the simplest things. Not gonna lie though, it's kind of a cool idea, and I'm surprised no one has done it before, or at least not that I've heard of, and I wouldn't put it past this person to go ahead and make an app out of it and sell it on the App Store. I mean, there are definitely apps for stranger things. Our next story is about a drunk guy. Now, if you have forgotten or you're just tuning in, you're listening to Penguin Radio with DJ Edge on the Informative News with a Voice. This drunk man got stuck in a puddle of mud on the way home from a pub and had to get rescued. The 40-year-old was reportedly inhibited while he was walking into a rather large, muddy puddle, and then got stuck. Rescuers had to pull out the man, who was up to his armpits in mud. And they had to tie a rope around him, pour water around him to try to dilute the mud, and then pulled him free and then rushed him to a hospital. There's no mention anywhere of injury, and there has been no follow-up story regarding this man. But I am sure that this guy was mortified that he got stuck. I mean, how embarrassing is that? Hello, operator? I'm drunk and stuck in a puddle of mud. I mean, I hope he wasn't claustrophobic. He was probably scared out of his mind, and I know that I would be freaking out. In another story, EU leaders gathering for a summit on Thursday to deal with the refugee crisis and the British threats to quit the bloc find a city struggling to cope with repeated closures of key road tunnels caused by crumbling concrete and years of decay. Now, the Belgian capital's regional parliament has been told that repairs are held up because original construction plans have been destroyed. How have they been destroyed, you might ask? Apparently, they were eaten by mice. That is worse than the "my dog ate the homework" line. What can you even say about this story? First of all, how did the mice even get to the plans? They just left it out on a desk and the mice came and ate it? That is so ridiculous. And how embarrassing is this to the person who had to go to their boss and say, "Hey, you know, I really can't get this done today. The mice ate our plans." Who let the mice get into the plans again, guys? Who let that one slip? Stay tuned. Up next, we'll have our next segment, Political Correction, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. informative News with a Voice. This is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, Dominican, radio.dominican.edu. Let's go on with our next segment, Political Correction. Our first story, Jeb Bush drops out of the race. Sunday, February 21st, Jeb Bush officially dropped out of the presidential candidate race. His poll numbers have been slowly dropping, but even as his campaign was dwindling, he started handing out tiny toy turtles from his pockets to children, telling them that slow and steady wins the race. According to CNN, the theme of his failure was to read the mood of the GOP electorate, and that was angry, the GOP electorate was, and they wanted change. Voters instead responded to Donald Trump, who Bush both underestimated and whose appeal he didn't understand. Out of all the Republican candidates, Jeb Bush was by far my favorite. And, you know, I would have been okay if he was the president. I've said before, I'll say it again, I'm openly liberal, but I am moderate. Jeb had some good things to say, I'm not gonna lie. He was logical about the issue of terrorism, rather than being rash like other candidates. Jeb wanted to pair with NATO and Arab forces to take out ISIS. While Ted Cruz wants to, quote, bomb ISIS back to the Stone Age. Trump, on the other hand, when asked about terrorism, said the following. This is like no other war we've ever had. This is a war, believe me. We're gonna have to knock him out, and knock him out hard. What does that even mean? He doesn't even know what he's talking about. And that worked for him? The stupidity is real. And he didn't even answer the question. You know, actually, Jeb dropping out gave me a newfound respect for him because he really seemed like he wanted the best for the American people. And even started to tear up in his speech. Here's a clip.
Our next president will lead an extraordinary country whose people have always made the improbable possible in big ways and small. Every day, Americans test the boundaries of freedom and achieve more than what they could have ever dreamed. But over the last 7 years, our nation's bright light has become little more than a flicker. We have retreated from the world stage. The American values that have brought peace and opportunity are fading. That is not the America we know and love. America is a country that thinks big, acts boldly, and leads without apology. It will be up to the next president to restore that kind of leadership. I'm proud of the campaign that we've run to unify our country and to advocate conservative solutions that would give more Americans the opportunity to rise up and reach their God-given potential. But the people of Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina have spoken, and I really respect their decision. So tonight, I am suspending my campaign.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, man.
Isn't that sad? I mean, I didn't know Jeb Bush had that kind of emotion. I'm sorry, Jeb. It'll be okay. You're still a governor. I still love you. Okay, maybe not love you, but you're all right. And I think a lot of people didn't trust him because of what his brother did. And I get that George wasn't the best president. And, you know, he wasn't great. Actually, he was pretty bad. But, you know, what can you do? Like, you can't really choose your family. Everybody always says that. and Jeb just kind of got the crappy end of the stick there. He got a brother and a father who, you know, some people didn't like. And I think that really was his downfall. I think he had really good ideas. And, you know, his other downfall was definitely that he wasn't really taking charge and telling people what he was going to do. But that's because he's a smart guy. And I truly believe that. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the Informative News with a Voice. Our next story in this segment, Political Correction, is about Donald Trump. Trump is continuously up in the polls. He was victorious in South Carolina. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are hanging on to the idea that it's only the beginning of the Republican primaries and that there's still time to come. Newsflash, guys, you're losing. You've been losing this whole time. Honestly, I don't know what's going to happen in the presidential race, but if Donald Trump becomes president, America will burn, I guarantee it, and everyone will hate us. This is a really bad joke gone wrong. It was funny for like the first month, Donald, and now it's scary. Please stop. This is a guy who blatantly was derogatory toward women, people of color, and on top of that, never answers questions, and he just sounds like an idiot. I don't understand why people like him. I really don't get it. And I hate to say it. I really do. It pains me, but I would take Cruz or Rubio over Trump. If that happens, yeah, we'll probably carpet bomb the Middle East. But at least, you know, they'll know something about politics. That's the upside. Hillary, Bernie, we need you now. Seriously, step up your game. Speaking of Hillary, on the other side of the spectrum, she is up in the polls as of Sunday, which isn't surprising. Her name recognition is incredible, but the email scandal made her less trustworthy in some people's eyes, which kind of dropped her down a couple notches. Another argument against her is that she doesn't stand up for herself because her husband cheated on her and she stayed with him. Some people are saying that she isn't a feminist because of this and that she should have left him. Okay, I understand the email scandal and why people don't trust her because of that. I think that she kind of shot herself in the foot with that one. But the argument about her marriage is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Her marriage doesn't show how good of a president she'll be. Her marriage is none of anyone's business. She should have left him? Should she have? Maybe. Maybe she's working through it with him. Maybe she forgave him. And wouldn't that represent her character as well? That she doesn't give up? Or that she might be mature enough to forgive him and love him, even with his flaws? But, you know, no one ever talks about that side of the story. All they do is give her crap for it. Now, Bernie, on the other hand, is quite shocking. I did not think he was going to have as many supporters as he does, and I didn't think people were going to go for the whole socialist vibe. Boy, was I wrong. Bernie is 4% behind Hillary as of Sunday. You know, I like what Bernie has to say. Like, I want to live in the world he's living in his head. Free college, free healthcare, rainbows, fairies, the whole nine yards. Now, he's smart and capable, but I think his ideas are impossible. Hashtag feel the burn. I also don't think college tuition should be free, which is one of his huge arguing points. By making it free, you reduce the quality of education and unfortunately make it mean less. I agree that it should be more affordable, but free is a bit too idealistic for me. A lot of people, especially here in Marin, love Bernie. I get it, but I don't. He's planning earth-shattering changes. And I understand that other countries have free healthcare and tuition, but is it really sustainable for us? Hillary has the right idea, I think, on this one, because she wants to reduce college tuition and healthcare and kind of continue with this whole Obamacare thing and go from there. But she's also not making any huge promises like Bernie, and I think that might come back and bite him. Because 6 years from now, when people are going to be like, Bernie, where's my free healthcare? Bernie, where's my free tuition? And it's not there, they're going to be pretty pissed. Overall, though, our current front runners are Hillary and Trump, and that may change, but I'm going to go out there and predict that it doesn't change and that it's going to stay pretty equal. Bernie may come up a couple notches, maybe even Ted Cruz. I don't think Marco Rubio is going to come up a couple notches. I think it's roughly going to stay the same from here on out, but it's going to be a cutthroat election this time because people are very, very, very opposed to what they're hearing from both sides. We'll be back in a minute with our next segment, Perfect Imperfection, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Staring at the bottom of your glass, hoping one day you'll make a dream last. But dreams come slow and they go so fast. You see it when you close your eyes. Maybe one day you'll understand why everything you touch surely dies. But you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. Staring at the ceiling in the dark, same old empty feeling in your heart. Cause love comes slow and it goes so fast. Well, you see her when you fall asleep, but never to touch and never to keep. Cause you loved her too much and you dive too deep. Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. Burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go.
I guess you'd come.
the informative News with a Voice. This is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's get on with our next segment, Perfect Imperfection. Brandon Turnbow was riding his motorcycle to his father's house when he witnessed a little dog being abused on the side of a highway near Creston, Texas. Brandon wrote on Facebook, "I watched in my rearview mirror and saw this guy throw the dog in the air on the curbside and drive off. Brandon went back, grabbed the dog, took him home as his own, and eventually named him Mr. Davidson. He already has another dog named Harley, so he had to go with Mr. Davidson." This is such a cute story. It shows the kindness that people have in them. And, you know, that not everything bad is happening in the world. There really are some good people. Good for you, Brandon. And I hope that Mr. Davidson lives a happy and healthy life. In another story, 22-year-old James Stewart found a cost-effective way to help his girlfriend's 3-year-old Pomeranian by building a wheelchair out of PVC pipes. The project cost a total of $40 and saved her family from having to pay $8,000 for surgery or $1,000 for a custom wheelchair. The dog, Benny, started acting very weird and skittish, and the following morning he woke up dragging his hind legs. His owners took him to the animal hospital. They informed her that the surgery would cost beyond $8,000. After learning that the custom wheelchair for Benny would cost at least $1,000, her boyfriend began to search for ways to make one himself. While certain parts were hard to come by, he wound up spending $40 in total to create his own fully functional dog wheelchair. Benny can now walk without the dreaded price. This is such a heartwarming story. Don't you just love how smart people come together and create brilliant ideas like this? And what lengths they go to just to help animals. We should really put some of that love and kindness toward, you know, each other, but animals is good too. It's also so ridiculous how much vets charge. I don't know if you've been to a vet or had to pay an animal bill, but they're ridiculous. I understand pets are harder to treat than people, but seriously, don't make people choose between debt and their animals' lives. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the informative News with a Voice. Our next story in this segment, Perfect Imperfection, is about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was last weekend, and here's what this student did. High schooler Hayden Godfrey saved over a year and a half to give every single girl at school a flower this Valentine's Day. It cost him about $450 to purchase 900 carnations from an online wholesaler. He began earning the money by working as a cook at McDonald's and a dishwasher at a Mexican restaurant. And for the last 10 months, he's been bagging groceries at a local store. The gesture resulted from years of buildup and planning. Every Valentine's Day since he was 14, Hayden would anonymously send flowers to dozens of his friends. Each year, the project grew larger and larger until he ultimately decided that he wanted to make as many people as possible happy this Valentine's Day. This is so sweet. Especially with all the insecurity and high-strung emotion in high school, especially within girls, it is so adorable that he even thought to give everyone a flower. It's kind of like in elementary school when your whole class is your Valentine. He did it for his whole school. That's pretty impressive. It's also impressive that a boy so young did this, and it occurred to him that he wanted to make every girl happy. It's kind of out of place, but it's refreshing to hear a story like that. Not to mention, it probably works great with the ladies. Go get 'em, Hayden. In our next story, a man complained that his wife's Fitbit was showing her heartbeat being consistently high, and she also logged 10 hours in the fat burning zone, which he thought was really odd based on her activity level. But her calories burned didn't seem out of the ordinary, except for the fact that her fat burning was excessive, which is really strange because usually when you burn that much fat, you consume a lot more calories and lose a lot more calories than usual. The man was concerned that the sensor was broken on his Fitbit, and many other responses came in about software updates because of this. But one woman suggested that the Fitbit was working fine and his wife may be pregnant. She asked, has she experienced anything really stressful in the past few days, or is she possibly pregnant? Less than 24 hours later, it was confirmed that a man, in fact, was going to be a dad. And he wrote that he was extremely excited to be a father, and he was just trying to fix his wife's Fitbit, but got more than he bargained for. His reaction was absolutely adorable, and it's always so heartwarming to see a father who's excited for his child to come into their lives. This is also insane because a Fitbit detected pregnancy because of unusual activity. Who needs a pregnancy test now? You just need a Fitbit. Logically, you would think that people would have figured this out sooner, but I'm sure that each body type differs, and some may not even be able to tell the difference between a regular day of activity and extensive activity, because if you are working out more, then it wouldn't differ between your body fat decrease and your calorie intake and burn. In other news, monk seals are making a cute comeback. The Hawaiian monk seal births are on the rise, according to the Marine Mammal Center. This species is considered critically endangered, with fewer than 1,200 individuals left in the wild. Scientists from NATO and the Hawaiian Monk Seal Research Program recorded 121 monk seal pups this year. This is up from 103 in 2013. This increase doesn't really seem major, but for the species and its decline, with such a small population, it's a huge victory. Plus, this means more adorableness. And conversationalists also hope to see additional population increase in the future, now that a new healthcare facility devoted entirely to the Hawaiian monk seals in Hawaii is up and running. Ultimately, this hospital hopes to restore the Hawaiian monk seal population, but for now, administrators are optimistic about the species and the rising birth rate. You know, it's good to hear some good news about species coming back. We always hear stories about how animals are going extinct, partly to do with our invasive involvement in the habitat, and it's always super depressing. Good for you, monk seal. Make sure to have more babies. And one last story. Apparently, the panda rolls down hills. Now, there's a video captured on video on YouTube, and there's a panda showing someone how to roll down a hill. Now, I didn't know this, but pandas actually do roll down hills to travel. I don't know if any of you have seen the new movie Kung Fu Panda 3, but they do show this in the movie, and I thought it was just some movie stunt that they used to be cute, but apparently it's not. Apparently pandas do roll down hills, and they kind of flop like seals at the end to unravel themselves. It's pretty cute. And someone caught it on camera, and apparently the makers of Kung Fu Panda 3 were very detailed in their research, because it's extremely accurate. That is the last story for this evening. And that's all for today. Tune into The Informative every Monday from 2 to 3. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Have a great day. This is DJ Edge signing off.